Welcome to another edition of the Highbury Squad. We are back as promised live. Joining me is my podcast brother, Mr. Super Kevin Campbell. Welcome back to the show, Super KC.
Good to be back. And I'm really looking forward to this one.
Me too, because we've had the ref on our previous shows and it was a really popular segment, and there's a lot going on in football right now, and I think us football fans think we know all the rules. But here to help us get some clarity on the insanity of the weekend and also to talk through some of the controversial decisions or non-decisions that Arsenal fans think didn't go their way in the Liverpool v Arsenal game last night. Welcome back to the show, the ref.
Hey, how are we? Okay.
We are epic. Yes.
Big day. Big day.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it's been a long time. Now, I just want to make it clear. Don't be put off by his accent, Gunners. I know it might still be hurting. We might still be hurting from last night, but our referee is definitely a fair referee. So let's start with the game before we get into the crux of this conversation, which is the handball, because it will all lead into that ref. The one decision I think that Arsenal fans are really upset about is the Mane elbow. Okay. And, yep. You know, Kev was saying last night that when you're champions of England and you're playing at home, those are the kinds of decisions that go your way. I think when you look back at the replay, one of the biggest gripes is that it felt like Mane went into it premeditated. He knew what he was going to do and he kind of put his hip into that. Regardless of whether you're not you're champions of England and you're playing at Anfield, talk us through that from the referee's perspective, because we thought it was a red card, and I think that we've seen those given.
Yeah, most definitely. I think from a refereeing perspective, look, referees don't want to be sending players off. First and foremost, they don't want to be giving those decisions. So they'll look at a decision like that. And to give a red card for that, the referee would have to be 100% certain that it was either premeditated, as what you have just said, or it was aggressive and could cause the opponent injury. One of the two or both. It has to be one of the two. If he thinks that the player has not intentionally gone to go for the man, or it's not over the top aggressive, he'll give a yellow card. I always go off my own gut instinct when I'm watching a game of football, and on an initial view. Straight away, because when you see a replay, when you see it slowed down, it skews your opinion. So I always go off what my gut tells me. And when the incident happened, I thought, uh-oh, he's in trouble here. He's led with his arm. He's led with his body. I don't think he's deliberately gone to hurt the man. I think what he's done is I think he's seen Tierney coming. And I think he thinks, I'm going to block him off, but he's gone way over the top in terms of that. And Tierney actually holds his run, and it just means that his arm comes out even further and makes contact with the upper chest face area of Tierney. What amazed me with that incident last night was that Stockley Park didn't say, go and have a look on the screen. Because the referee, in his own mind, obviously was not 100% certain it was a red card, because it would have come out straight away. So he had an element of doubt. And I'm surprised that Stockley Park didn't say, go and review it. One thing I will say, and it gets thrown around a lot, this, is that somehow it's too early to book a player or to send a player off. I hear that quite a lot. People say, oh, it's first minute of a game. No, it's rubbish. If it's a red card, it doesn't matter if it's the first minute or the 91st minute. It doesn't matter whether it's 0-0 or it's 5-0. If it's a red card, the referee should rule by the interpretation of the law. And in my opinion, the referee was unsure. And don't forget, referees can be cold as well. It's not just players who can be cold. He could have got into the game. He's not quite up to the speed. He may be thinking, well, is it? Isn't it? That's where he needs help from the people at Stockley Park if you're going to have VAR. They should have said to him, just go and have a look at it again and see what you think. And if on reflection, you still think it's not an aggressive foul, then fine, stick with your decision. But I think if he'd have looked at it on the screen, I think Sadio Mane would have walked. And it could have changed the complexion of the game completely.
So why is that? This is what infuriates us, right, Casey? The inconsistency.
No, hold on, Sophie. Okay. Dave, did you think it was a red card, yes or no?
Yes.
Right. That's what I wanted to hear first and foremost. Because you know what? All this cold referees and all that nonsense.
Kev, what I'm trying...
No, hold on, Dave. I've listened to you. Yeah. I've listened to you quietly. Now I'm going to say my piece. I said last night, I understand. You know, you're at home. You can. Some decisions go your way. There is no way under the sun. The referee never even went to the linesman to find out what it was. Never mind Stockley Park. So this is my problem with it. Yeah, this is my argument about it. Stockley Park never helped the referee, but the referee never even seek help from his linesman. This is my argument.
But my problem there, Kev, is that that's what VAR was brought in to do. VAR was brought in to clear up the clear and obvious mistakes that a referee can make during a game. So last night, there's a protocol. When the referee doesn't give a red card in that situation, Stockley Park should have been straight in his ear. They should have been saying, they don't say we think you've made a mistake. They say, we think you should go to the screen. Now, they've actually done that a lot more this season than they did last season. So I'm shocked that Stockley Park didn't have a word. You're right. You're absolutely right. The referee has made a mistake. But that's what VAR is there for. Or it should
and
be.
That's the part.
Are they not allowed to speak to the linesman?
They're allowed to speak. They're allowed to speak to anyone they want. Yeah, of course he is. He can go to the linesman and say, did you have a view of it? The linesman can wave his flag and say...
Well, the linesman was the one who waved the flag, you see. The linesman waved the flag. So therefore, shouldn't the referee go and check the linesman?
It was right in front of the liner, really, wasn't it?
Absolutely. But also the liner should be saying to the referee, because they're in communication, can you come here, please? Because if the linesman thinks the referee has missed it, look, referees can make a mistake. That's not an issue. But VAR was brought in to defuse those situations, and they're not doing it.
And I think that's the most frustrating part, is that the monitor this season had been working flawlessly. I think that before this weekend, the decisions, they were getting the right decisions, and right at the end there, the final decision rests with the referee, the man who's on the pitch, who makes that final decision. I thought the introduction of the monitor, we've seen it in MLS, we've seen it in other leagues. We obviously see it here in the United States across the board with professional sports. So I think the most disappointing thing, ref, is that why in that instance, as Kev said, when the lino flags, clearly there's a foul, he gets a yellow card. Why wouldn't they go to VAR? That is what drives fans insane. At that point, that's the inconsistency that is driving everyone up the wall.
Sophie, just to correct you on a point, and I hear this a lot from football fans, a lot, that you go to VAR. You don't go to VAR. VAR is watching
goes to
the
you.
Game
correct,
all
yes.
the time. So VAR, at that point, the protocol is laid out, and you're correct. They have been using the screen. It was a big uproar last season that they weren't using the screen. This year, they've used the screen, and they've used it well. That's the one part of VAR they've got correct this season until last night. And I was absolutely gobsmacked. I was sat watching, and I'll go back to what I said before. I referee on a park. I don't have a VAR monitor. I don't often have linesmen. So I always go off my instinct, my gut feeling. Kev will know when he's played. You know, when you see something, you know, your gut tells you something. And as a park referee, you have to go off that. You have nothing else. So I always think back when I see, it's like when you see a tackle in slow motion. The amount of times me and Amanda, for example, have had rumpuses about tackles, and she'll send me a still photograph of a foot touching a foot. No, don't watch a still photograph. Look at the tackle in full time, and that'll tell you what's going on. And my instinct last night when I saw it straight away initially was, he's off. There was even enough for the referee surely to be thinking, I'm not sure. I've got to have a look at my own decision here.
Yeah.
It was clear the referee,
the arm had come out.
Yeah.
Yep. The referee doesn't get the benefit of slow motion, doesn't get the benefit of all of that, but the technology today does benefit and should benefit that decision making. And last night, the truth of it is too, ref, is that decision, Casey, you could tell the Arsenal players dipped not only after that, but there were some other decisions that we'll get to that were kind of questionable. But that's the type of decision, you know, then Mane goes on, has an amazing game. I mean, for me, I know Messi and Ronaldo, of course, they're on another planet called their planet football, whatever you want to call it. But in terms of best player in the world right now, for me, he is sensational, Mane. I mean, there's no stopping the guy. I know there's always this argument about, oh, who would you have, Salah or Mane? Mane is a machine. When he was substituted, we were relieved. But the point is that perhaps he shouldn't have been on the pitch. But that's football and that's how it works out. Let's get to the third goal, which is going to lead us to this conversation that everyone's gone crazy about, ref. I think the hysteria is kind of insane. I actually think that key informer pundits like Jamie Carragher and Gary Lineker fueling the fire doesn't help. Please help us explain what was the old rule versus the new rule. And then we'll get to Jota and the other games that we saw, those decisions this weekend.
So the old rule was relatively simple. I had to have been intent to handle the ball. It was a deliberate act. And there was always an argument. When I referee, handball was always the most contentious decision you give because it's the most subjective. You're reading what's in a player's mind under the old rule. Because I don't know. Kev can... Do you remember the Champions League final, Kev, when Sissoko gives a penalty away against Liverpool?
Yeah.
Nothing will ever tell me that Sadio Mane doesn't deliberately strike the ball at the arm. He sees his arm out and he hits it at it. It's genius, really, if you think about it. And he's gone. He put his arm up on the ball. I don't know. When you don't know what's going through Sissoko's mind, I haven't got a clue. But the old rule used to say it had to be deliberate. There had to be intent. So I think what they've tried to do, and they're failing spectacularly, by the way, is to sort of make the rule almost a line call. They're almost trying to bring it back into everything else where it's obvious. They're trying to make it a clear handball, and they've made a dog's breakfast of it. The rule has changed fundamentally. So there is two elements to it, and one will pertain to the Jota decision. So where the arm becomes the arm has now changed. So the arm now starts at anything under the armpit there. So where your armpit is there, anything above it there is now not handball. That is considered as part of the shoulder. Uh-huh. The obvious problem with that is a ball is round. So a surface can hit, and it can hit there, and it can hit there. So you tell me. But it cuts and off it looks, below the it armpit
looks,
there.
Yeah, it looks like it's the shoulder. Yeah. Or it looks like it's the arm. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like... On that one last night, I've watched it several times, because live, again, I went, oh, I'm not sure that's... People will know by now I'm a Liverpool fan. I didn't celebrate the goal because I went, oh, I think that struck his arm. And the fact that the goal was given pretty quickly was like, oh, okay. So I watched it again. And initially I thought it did hit his arm. But then when I looked at it, I think it's hit him on part of his chest there and there, so sort of there. And I think they've decreed that that's under the armpit. I think they decreed that's part of the shoulder. So, again, whilst they're trying to clear it up, they've made it more complicated for the supporter. Because I looked at it and thought it's handball. But when I looked at it again, I thought, yeah, I can see what they're saying. The ball's hitting there. So that's the one element of the handball rule. And then there's everything else. I've actually got it. In my hand is a piece of paper, as Neville Chamberlain once said. and that caused enough trouble. Okay, I'll read it. For the purposes of demeaning handball offences, the upper boundary of the arm is in line with the bottom of the armpit. It is an offence if a player deliberately touches the ball with their hand stroke arm, including moving the hand stroke arm towards the ball, scores in an opponent's goal directly from the hand or arm, even if accidental, including by the goalkeeper. Okay. After the ball has touched their teammate's hand or arm, even if accidentally, immediately scores in the opponent's goal. So the goal that was disallowed for, who was it? was it West Brom? Oh, sorry, the goal that was given for West Brom, for Chelsea mm-hmm. against West Brom in injury mm-hmm. time, where there was mm-hmm. a big rumpus about whether it was handball. Last season, that would have been ruled out because it didn't matter what phase of play it was in. If it led to the goal and it was in and around the penalty area, they'd have disallowed it from coming off the arm. Now they're saying it has to directly lead to a goal or a goal-scoring opportunity. It doesn't. It bounces off, player plays it in, the shot's saved, he taps it in. So this phase is beyond it, if you get what I'm trying to say. So there's that element of it. Then, if the hand or arm has made the body unnaturally bigger. So what they're trying to say here is if the arm comes out here,
mm-hmm.
there, then it's handball. Doesn't matter if it's deliberate. If you stuck your arm out and it hits you, it's handball. And then if your hand or arm is above your head, so it doesn't matter again whether it's deliberate or not. So the one in the United game, for example.
So Mopé and Dyer. Mm-hmm.
And Dyer. With Dyer's an interesting one. Dyer's arm is sort of there, isn't it? When it hits him. He's back to the game, back to the play, and the ball sort of hits him as his arm is here as he jumps. You could deem that that's above his head. But I think it's a line call. I really do. I think it's a close one, that. And you can understand the frustration. Because if that's handball, Kev, you'll know as a player. Where can you go?
I'll be honest with you, Dave. I'll be honest with you. As a defender, what's your back doing towards the ball?
Yes.
Maybe. What is your back doing to... You're giving the referee an easy decision as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. It's the same thing with the Sissoko thing when his arm's up here.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. Because I want to get...
Where was he up to? Oh, yeah, above the head.
Above the head.
The above offence is applied if the ball touches a player's hand or arm directly from the head or body of another player who is close. So, again, it doesn't matter if it's fired at you from a yard. If your arms are out, if your arm's up here, it's a handball. So it can be right next to you.
It can be hit at you.
And it's handball.
Wow. How many points there, Kev? There's 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's more.
There's more. Go on.
Well, actually, it doesn't, to be fair. That's where it ends. Then it tells us when it's not handball.
When is it not
strangely,
handball?
Strangely, but that's in...
When is it not handball?
Except for the above offence, it's not an offence if the ball touches a player's hand or arm directly from the player's own head or body. So if I head it onto my own arm, that's mm-hmm. not handball. So if I hit it against myself or it comes off my mm-hmm. thigh. So the penalty that was given for Liverpool against Leeds, where the defender, the ball comes off his thigh and hits his arm. As per your rules, lads, that's not a penalty. Yet it's given. But that's in their own rules.
Was that at Anfield again, Dave?
That was.
Yeah, mate. Kev, come on, you've been long enough in this.
Dave, you're right, and that's why I'm asking the question. You know what I mean? No, these decisions happen for the bigger teams. They do.
Don't you know, KC? This is Anfield.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's take this game by game just a little bit. Okay, everyone, thanks for explaining the rules, ref.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes, absolutely.
One more thing. There's one more point. If the arm is not making the body unnaturally bigger,
so straight down.
Yep, straight down. If it hits your mm-hmm. arm, it's no penalty. What I will say there, Kev, if you're trying to balance yourself, if you're running in and you're trying to balance yourself, you're not telling me that you're naturally leaving your arm by your side. Your arms are going to come up and out just slightly there, aren't they? They are.
Yeah.
You're in a penalty area. Your arms are here. That's a penalty now.
Good.
Victor Lindelof got a penalty against Man United.
Good. Do you know what, Dave? This is what I am going to say.
Go on.
I particularly remember Spurs getting decisions against Manchester City in the Champions League, right?
Mm.
Getting big decisions, game-changing decisions. I never heard them moan.
Are you talking about the quarterfinal, Kev? The quarterfinal, yeah.
Yeah. So don't moan. Don't moan when it goes against you. You know it balances itself out eventually. Okay?
Everton
suffered decisions against them. They got a decision at the weekend. So Roy Hodgson saying he don't like it. I never saw Roy Hodgson come out with the same energy when they got a penalty at Old Trafford. I never saw him come out with the same energy. It's
amazing.
What I
will say is Steve Bruce did at weekend, fair play to him. When they got their penalty at weekend, Steve Bruce, I was shocked, actually. I thought it was quite interesting what he was saying. But anyway, I take your point.
But I think also that managers have to be really careful about not wearing their rose-coloured glasses in these situations, because they know damn well that, like KC says, when it goes against you or for you, you know, the rhetoric is always going to be different, right? But it was Steve Bruce handled that really well. And after what Roy Hodgson said, I think he was kind of backed into a corner, really. What was he going to say? I think, forget about the past. Can you imagine if we go way back and think of these decisions and having VAR and how the trajectory of maybe some games that maybe resulted in winning the FA Cup or the League Cup or even the Premier League?
Waiting for that
little nugget to come out.
We're talking about Cardiff in 2001. They were
twice. Just saying.
Stefan Ancho was our best reserve goalkeeper that season. He did really well.
He'd done everything but catch it, didn't he?
Too funny.
He did. Well, one of his saves is absolutely outstanding.
Let's start with the Brighton Man United game, okay? Well, hold on. Let's finish. So Jota, I think we agree. Why did that? That didn't go. Why didn't VAR intervene there? Did they look at that?
They looked at everything.
They allowed it.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
They allowed it. But they did really quickly.
Yeah, it happened very quickly.
They did it instantaneously.
Let's look at the Brighton Manchester United game, because the Fernandes penalty, I think we all agree that was a penalty. That wasn't the handball situation. I think the Pogba one, rightly so, was rescinded. He got a yellow card for that offence. That was not a penalty on, was it Connolly? I can't remember. And then obviously the moment of madness right at the very end where, you know, Harry Maguire headers it. It hit Mope, puts his arm out, changes the trajectory of the ball, of course. The final whistle had gone. Now, let's all be clear, and I want you to make it clear, referee. At the time, everyone's like, the game's over. So the hysteria kicks in because of the immediate instant gratification reaction, right?
Tell them, Dave.
Can you please explain to everybody, once the final whistle goes, is the game over or what is the rule? Can they go back and look at it? Take us through that a little bit.
They can look at it. The offence happened during the game. So that during the 90 minutes or 90 whatever plus minutes. So it doesn't matter if the final whistle has gone straight away. VAR can relook at it. And because the offence happened, if there was a kick off the ball after the final whistle, for example, in the penalty area, that wouldn't be counted as a penalty. That then the game would be over. But the offence happened during the game. So therefore, VAR can look at it and VAR can rescind that decision because it's a clear and obvious error from the referee. So they can go back and change it. They did that right as per the rules, as per the protocols.
Mope ruined that for everybody, didn't he? Bloody hell.
Muppet, I think his name is. Harry Maguire's got a free header from 16 yards. What you do is you stand there and go on then, son. And if you put it in the top bin, you shake his hand and walk off and buy him a beer after. You go, well done, lad.
Right. Okay, so, ref, let's go to the Everton-Crystal Palace game, because I think the Ward penalty is the one that a lot of people felt was exceptionally unfair. Talk us through that. What did they make? Yellow card, red card for the referee or VAR on that one? And obviously, it's not the refs. The refs are just executing the new law. Stop bashing the referees, everybody. They are just enforcing the law. Was that fair, unfair? Did they get that decision right? I mean, Kev probably loved it.
The call on that one is whether they deem that the arm is being made is making the body unnaturally bigger. That's the call that they're looking at. So there was two incidents in quick succession, if you remember, during that game. And I think they involved the same player. I think it was Ward twice, the ball hit his arm. They looked at the first one. and said no, his arm was laterally by his side. The second one, they deemed that his arm had come out slightly. I think by the letter of the law, you can make a case for it being correct by the letter of the law if they deem that his arm is out unnaturally. But I think this is where we're going in terms of the discussion. And you said something before about ex-players, no offence, Kev, or pundits. A lot of them are looking at it based on how they used to play and the rules they used to play in. That's what they're looking at it. So they're looking at it going, your old school Steve Bruce's, Roy Hodgson's, are going, oh, it's never a penalty because in my day, but it's not in your day. And the rules have changed. So you have to look at it. Instead of coming on screaming and shaking your head, you have to look at the rule. If the rule says it, it's a penalty. It's still a judgment call. VAR looked at it, thought his arm had come slightly out and deemed that his arm had made the body unnaturally bigger. I think it's harsh. But according to the rules, I can see why it's given.
Yeah, and that's why I said that earlier, because I think it's their role as pundits to also kind of diffuse some of the hysteria. And you're right. In terms of looking at it from that angle, ref, that they're basing their opinions on what they experienced previously. And remember, a lot of these older guys, they don't, you know, change isn't easy for people. Evolution of rules isn't easy for people. So for someone like Roy Hodgson, who's been in the game a long time, and Steve Bruce, that might be a little difficult for them to understand, especially if their team is on the receiving end of it. And when your team is on the receiving end of it, of course, it's harsher. I want to just I want to go back to the Dyer and again, like with the drama as well with these decisions, the Tottenham, Newcastle, and also the Brighton, Manchester United going into like the very end of the game, injury time. I mean, of course, as an Arsenal fan, you're chuckling, but at the same time, Arsenal fans, honest fans, came out and said, "If that was us, I'd be spewing." That Kev brought up the whole. He had his back turned. And again, these pundits on TV and a lot of fans are like, well, he wasn't even paying attention or looking at the ball. What does that have to do with it?
They've taken it out of the rules. The intent element of it has been separated. So you can still get a penalty for intent. If Maradona does what he does now and it's on VAR, that's disallowed. It's an intentional handball. And he'd get a yellow card. The intent has been put at the start, and then there's a whole list of rules beyond it now. And what annoys me is not managers. Managers are human beings. They've just seen their team lose points or win points with the last kick of the game. A camera's shoved in front of the face, and they've got to do an interview. And I understand why some managers can't control themselves and maybe lose it a little bit. What I don't understand are pundits who are paid a lot of money to go on national television to talk about football as experienced professionals, but actually, and I'll guarantee, the majority have never actually read that.
Agreed.
They've read headlines, they've looked at it, but in their heads, it's not a penalty because he might. The rules have changed, lads. You need to look at it, and lasses. You need to look at it. You need to look at the rule and see why a referee is giving the decision or VAR are giving the decision. It's not because they're incompetent most of the time, sometimes maybe. It's not because they're cheats. It's not because they're trying to do something to cause controversy. They are imposing the letter of the law. Now, there is an argument to say it's being imposed too stringently because that Ward one at Crystal Palace, they're being very, very strict on that. But they're being told to be strict. The diktat is, you impose that.
And Dave, isn't it usually earlier on in the season where they're very strict? And as the season wears on, it tails off a little bit.
Interestingly, if you look at this was brought in Spain and Germany last season before us. So they brought in this rule 12 months ago. And if you look at the number of penalties that were given there, and they'll be under the same diktat from UEFA and from FIFA above them, the number of penalties was consistent through the season. It never sloped off. So it'd be interesting here to see what happens in 2 or 3 months, to see if they are doing it stringently.
Dave, I covered La Liga last season. Mm-hmm. A lot of the La Liga games. And listen, I've got no problem with the change of rules. You know, listen, it's the same for both teams. What you did actually see, Dave, what you did actually see is a lot of the defenders, if they're going to close the ball down, their arms were behind their back. And if it obviously hit the arm, if it hit the arm, then it's hitting it up here, as opposed to, you know, having it by your side, but it's a little bit out from the body. That gives the referee a decision, doesn't it?
Yeah. Van Dijk does it. Van Dijk puts his arm behind his back like that. So the ball hits him on the head, not a problem. As you say, the ball hits his arm, it's shoulder. It's never getting given.
Yeah. Okay, so I'd like to you're listening to the Highbury Squad, everyone, the ref is on with us here, as I said at the top of the show, just in case for those joining in chat right now, don't be put off by his accent. And thanks to our sponsor, Playing the Game, go to ptgame.co.uk. You can create branded entertainment content your way. Right, you said something earlier, ref, and as an ex-player, what I love about having KC on too is that he can take us into the game beyond the lines. Do you see, and KC, I want you to be super honest about this, because it's the same situation maybe where, you know, some players say, look, if I can take a dive, I'm going to take a dive and win my team a penalty if I need to do that at some point in a game. You're taking an opportunity to give an advantage to your team. KC, if you were playing today and this was the rule, can you, number one, see players kicking the ball deliberately, like the ref said, with regards to the Champions League final with Mane? And would you do it?
Of course I would. It goes against... Listen, of course I would. Because you...
Is that cheating?
No, it's not. It's within the rules. If my arm if my arm is up here and somebody strikes the ball for my arm, what is my arm doing there? It shouldn't be there.
There's also no rule in the game that says you can't kick a ball.
You can't. There's no rule that says that. You're damn right I would.
Nope.
Here's how I look at it, Sophie. And Dave, ref, you could tell me you used to referee back in the day. Do you remember the professional foul? The professional foul, you people would say that is a great foul to give. Because it stops the opposition. That got outlawed because you get sent off now. But I tell you this, Sophie. If we're winning 1-0 and it's the 89th minute and somebody, Sadio Mane's running through and I could take him down outside the box, what do you reckon I'm going to do?
Well,
got to come down. He has to.
It's the only way to get that guy down anyway.
No, but do you understand? Is it in the rules? No, it's not in the rules. But do you know what? As a fan, you would say, what a good decision by Kev, or what a good decision by David Luiz, or what a good decision, because you preserve your lead, probably. It's the same
with
a shot.
The one that springs to mind, and he got absolutely murdered for it, was Luis Suarez for Uruguay in the World Cup, where he punched the ball over the bar. And everyone was going, he's a cheat, is this? I tell you what, if that's my player and he doesn't punch the ball over the bar, I'll be going absolutely nuts. If you've got a chance to stop a goal and to let them score a penalty to win the game and you get sent off, do it. Do it.
I guess it's kind of like tax laws, right? There's always a loophole. And those who find the loophole aren't really breaking the law.
Well, Luis Suarez would be an interesting one in the Premier League right now with this. Luis Suarez would get 3 penalties a game. Because he'd just go, where's his arm? Who's the defender with the arm out? Him. Penalty.
Do we then start... Okay, so I know what the answer is going to be, but I have to ask the question because there's going to be a group of listeners that are going to say, ask the question. Do we lose the integrity of the game? Is this new rule going to result in that? Are we going to start seeing, you know, too many penalties in a game? What do you guys think? I mean, it just feels to me that we don't like diving. Everyone complains about diving. No one likes that. But, you know, there are a lot of players that utilize it, and we've said, to their advantage.
I don't mind it if they're good at it. It's if they're bad at it, I've got a problem. Listen,
I don't
they
like
say
it.
That what's the what did he say? What did he say that says the world's oldest profession? Diving, cheating, trying to win an advantage in football is probably the second oldest profession. It's gone on since time immemorial. The game evolves and changes, rules evolve and change, and players will always try and find a way to gain an advantage in a football match. It's gone on before and it will go on in the future. You're never stopping it. And it's just evolving. It's a different thing.
Dave, for me, how is it challenging the integrity, Sophie? Because let me tell you something. Football is a tough, nasty work business.
There's
high-level football is a tough, nasty business, right? And let me tell you something. You could see Liverpool wanted to prove a point against Arsenal yesterday. You could see it was in them. You know, Arsenal had done them twice and they wanted to prove a point and put Arsenal in their place. So however they needed to do it, whether they had to be a bit more physical about it, make contact with Arsenal players, that's what they were going to do. And that's what they done yesterday. Yeah, they got away with some things. And sometimes you do get away with some things. I was part of an Arsenal team that did the same thing. I've got to be honest with you. And we got away with stuff. So it is just part and parcel.
Okay. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. If this continues in the manner in which it is, ref, they're not going to change the new rule mid-season, are they? They're not going to. Is this rule here to stay, I think, is what a lot of fans want to know.
I think the rule is here to stay. I think what could happen, as Kev alluded to before, I think what could happen is the interpretation of the rule could start to ease as the season goes on and referees and VAR start to sort of manipulate themselves around it and have a look at it a little bit more nuanced. Right at the moment, they are ruling to the strict letter of the law on the handball rule. They are, you can tell. As soon as the arm comes out, as soon as the arm goes up, it's a penalty. It's black and white. I think there is a chance that later on in the season, they could start to just be a little bit more relaxed on it. They've done it before. Remember when we had the march it on 10 yards? That lasted about 2 months. Well, that was an FA rule. This is a FIFA rule. So that's it. That's staying. That ain't going anywhere. That's staying. Same as VAR, that's staying. But there could be a chance later on in the season that it just starts to become a little bit more, as I said, more relaxed.
All right. Wow. Kev, have we cleared this up? Are there any other issues that we want to cover with the ref while we have him here? I mean, I think there were a couple things aside from the handball, there's just, like, for example, in the Liverpool-Arsenal game, there was the challenge on Lacazette in the first half that should have been a free kick. There was the challenge on Aubameyang in the second half. And I think Arsenal put their heads down. They weren't getting any of the decisions. And I think what fans are looking for, again, is consistency, right, KC? Just be consistent.
100%. And look, like I said, there's certain things that you get and there's certain things that you don't get when you're away from home or when you're playing the champions. Now, I thought the referee let quite a bit go yesterday, and it always seemed to be when Liverpool were the aggressor. Whenever Arsenal were the aggressor and Arsenal made contact with the Liverpool player, it would be a free kick. You know, but Arsenal weren't given that courtesy. So sometimes I get it and I say it, but you know, this referee, we got his card marked, Sophie. Yeah, we got his card marked. Dave, you know what I mean? He's gonna get some of that when I see him, I tell you. Yeah, he's gonna get some of that.
I actually thought he went through about a 10-minute period where he had an absolute nightmare. Mm-hmm. And you're right, there was three or four decisions. One on Fabinho on Aubameyang where, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it's a foul. I mean, and he lets it go. What I will say is, just to balance it up just slightly, he made one fantastic decision and then made a poor decision in the same breath. For the first goal, he let an advantage go where Keita was dragged back by Granit Xhaka. Great decision, because he got to the goal and it was the correct decision.
Agreed.
Granit Xhaka should have been booked.
Yes.
He should have gone back and booked Granit Xhaka. And it's like, sometimes referees get caught up in a moment themselves.
It was cynical. That was cynical.
This. Yeah, he's grabbed down around the neck. Mm. I think Craig Pawson is a poor referee. I think he's one of the poorest we have. I think he's inconsistent. I think he switches off in games. So we'll see. But yeah, no, I thought he was poor last night.
And the Ceballos was on for what? Just a few minutes, and he gives him a yellow card immediately for his first challenge. I thought that was a little bit harsh, considering how he'd let so much go previously. I thought
It's not consistent. Yeah. It's not consistent.
We should have a league for referees. Do they have that, Dave? Remember, I think I asked you about that last time about performance reviews.
They do. Listen, and this is why referees are giving stuff to the or making decisions to the letter of that. Because if they don't, they get marked and they get assessed. Look, there is behind the scenes management of referees. It doesn't go unnoticed. Whether that's good enough, whether that governance is good enough, is a different matter. What makes me laugh is when a referee has a poor performance, they drop him down to the Championship. Mm. You don't want a poor referee in the Championship or League One. That's the last thing you want, because there's more going on there than there is in the Premier League.
Yeah, chew.
The punishment is go and watch a game where there's worse tackles. Okay.
They should be put for gardening leave for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be sent to the Hackney Marshes.
Not even Hackney Marshes want them.
Yeah, not at all.
You want to come and referee at the standard I refereed at, and then they'll see where they're very good. But you've got no linesmen.
You know, it's the truth of it is Abby Oden in our chat is saying Arsenal need to learn to be a little bit nastier. Casey and I were talking about this yesterday, and I brought up, and I didn't want to bring up, the current documentary on a very popular streaming platform, when a very unpopular manager said that you need to be see you next Tuesdays. And I totally understood what he meant by that. I think a lot of fans understood. There are certain teams, they're just so nice and polite. And that is why I enjoyed Xhaka yelling when we equalized. He didn't even want to celebrate. And I don't want to kind of get into the game. We're gonna jet off here a minute. But agreed, Casey.
When we equalized, you mean when we took the lead?
Yeah, Xhaka wasn't happy at all. When we took the lead. He wasn't happy at all.
Shouted,
he's yelling at everybody.
He was scared.
Yeah.
He shouted you were scared twice. Interesting.
Yeah, it's referee. Can you imagine
any previous Arsenal player from the 89 squad or the Invincibles yelling out that they were scared? Oh my God! Come on,
you go back to not being nasty enough. One of the biggest improvements Liverpool have made is bringing Fabinho in, because Fabinho's got that in him. Fabinho will put his foot in, he'll drag players back, he'll do the nasty, dirty, horrible, niggly stuff. That means that we get set again. And Arsenal, you're right, Arsenal don't have that in the locker currently. Jack has got an element of it.
He does.
But beyond that, I think they need that.
We haven't had it. The last player was
Coquelin. Hold on a minute. Granit Xhaka's got what in him?
Coquelin was the last one that we really had that was a bit nasty.
No chance. Coquelin, no chance.
The NLD game where he went in and got the red card, that cost us.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this, Liverpool have two or three or four players in that midfield who are dogs. They are dogs. They go to war every single game, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Arsenal don't have it. They have nice players. They have nice players. Xhaka pulls somebody back. Doesn't go through him. That's what we need. We need somebody who go through him, get a booking. Then Liverpool would know we're in a battle. But no, pulling people back and it's cheating. That's cheating.
Okay, so let me ask this question. I'm going to let you go on this one because Paramod just sent it in. And take a look at this, ref. I think it's a really good question. And Casey, sorry to ask this. Why is there no young blood coming through in Premier League refereeing? Also, why are there no female refs? Seems like other parts of Europe are more advanced in this. Can we answer that before we duck out?
Yeah, I think I can answer both. I think there's a reluctance in English football, as there always seems to be around English sport, where we're frightened of letting youth sort of have a go at it. So I think we sort of want referees to cut their teeth in the lower leagues, and then we'll filter them through, and they come through when they're in the mid to late 30s, early 40s even sometimes, and it's too late. Those referees, if you look at rugby league, for example, they have a lot of youngsters who referee at the very highest level, people in the late 20s, and that's what it should be in professional football. In Premier League football, it's the best referee that counts. Whether they're a woman, whether they are 25, doesn't matter. Where's the ex-players? Where's the players who didn't make it because of injury or just didn't make it because they didn't get the breaks? Where are they getting funneled into a system where they go, okay, well, here's your chance to have a career in football. You can be a referee. Now, people say, don't be a referee. It's a good living. The professional people.
Well, they're still getting let down by the technology.
And the rules. Yeah.
You know, so you're not doing them any favours, Dave, are they? You know?
No.
Anyone. And that's experienced referee. Yeah. Craig Polson's an experienced referee. And he's being let down by the technology. So
it's a great... the same way, Kev.
Yeah, it's a great question to end the show on. Referee, you have been absolutely outstanding. Thank you so much for giving us some clarity. Round of applause for the ref. Absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant.
Top shelf stuff. And we will be
good luck to Arsenal for the rest of the season, by the way. I hope we do really well.
Thank you. We have another big game at Anfield in a couple of days. Hopefully
I fancy you in that, to be honest.
Will it be another 5-5? We'll see.
5-5, yeah. That was a cracker, wasn't it?
Until then, Casey, we will see everyone back here on Thursday. Ref, we will see you throughout the season for sure.
No problem.
We'll be bringing a little bit of you to our listeners as well. And until then, Casey, it's...
Listen, it's always Arsenal. Come on, you guys.